Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from a very windy Pueblo, Colorado, on this 17th day of February, 2009. We have a great show today, folks, because we're paying tribute to one of our favorite actors, Hugh Jackman, who will be hosting this year's Academy Awards. Our special guest is an award winner herself, Fausta Wirtz, host of Fausta's blog right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll bring Fausta in a few minutes, but first, let's see if my excellent co-host, Jazz Shaw, is ready to help with the show. You know, he has to do double duty today because our wonderful producer, Nikki Starr, isn't able to be with us. So Jazz is going to be our chat room wrangler as well as our co-host. Jazz, is the chat room open for Hugh Jackman fans?
Well, it was, and I have a bit of bad news. Hopefully it'll get cleared up shortly, but the chat server crashed shortly after we opened up the chat room.
Oh, no, I hate it when that happens. I really
know our dedicated staff will be working diligently to get that back online for us. And in the meantime, what's the old axiom, Betty Jo? On with the show.
Yes, on with the show. The show must go on. But I'd like to give the call-in number out for any fans of Mr. Jackman who would like to call in and help us pay tribute for him. And that call-in number is 646-478-5668. And having the ability to call in is really important when your chat room crashes. So, and our special guest, Fausta, I believe, has arrived. So let's put her on right now.
Yes, and the good news is the chat room is back up, so people can go ahead and reload and try to get back in if you're following the show live online. We do have the chat room back up.
Thanks for that report, Jazz. The chat is so much fun. Nikki always says the chat is where it's at. So if you're listening, I think you'll enjoy the show much more if you do participate in the chat. And thank you, chatters, because we really appreciate your participation. Now, I'm so happy that Fausta agreed to join us today because, like me, she's an avid Hugh Jackman fan. Am I right, Fausta?
Oh, you're right. Definitely right.
I knew it because we can't resist talking about Hugh Jackman about every other show. So so I knew that you would be someone who would really love talking about him. You know, Fausta, when I was doing research for the show, I was surprised to find out that Hugh Jackman has over 30 films and TV shows to his credit, and I'm not sure that I even had information about all of his work in Australia before he came to the United States. But the first time I saw him was as Wolverine, of course, in the X-Men movie, and I couldn't get enough of him after that. So I was wondering, what are your favorite Hugh Jackman films?
Definitely all the Wolverines. I mean,
all of the X-Men.
Yeah, the ones that have come out with the X-Men, and I'm sure I'm going to like the next one because I just love how he plays that character. I also liked, and this is just, by the way, here's a spoiler. So anybody who's listening, this is a spoiler on The Prestige. Okay, I love the idea of the Hugh Jackman clones. That was just perfect, you know? So I liked The Prestige because they cloned Hugh Jackman, and that's like everybody's dream if you're a fan.
I wish I had heard that before I saw that movie. It didn't make that much sense to me until until I knew what was, you know, what was going on.
Them. You know, and if you think about it, if Tesla had been able to clone Hugh Jackman, he would never gone out of business. You know, Bowie would never gone into music either, but that's another story. That would be a different movie.
Right. So you liked him in the X-Men movies and in The Prestige.
Yes.
Any other films that you especially enjoyed him in?
I also liked him in Swordfish.
You did.
That was one of his first Hollywood movies, yes. Actually, I think that was like his first big name star job.
And he was with Halle Berry and John Travolta.
Yeah.
In Swordfish.
I like that.
Yeah, that was on my list. I can't say I found Hugh Jackman particularly memorable, but Swordfish was one of my favorite films. Probably
yeah.
more so for Halle Berry though.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she did a little bit of nudity, I think, in that.
That's right. The guys like that.
Well, I'm ashamed of you for assuming that's the reason I would like it. The acting was wonderful. The story was fantastic. It was
She even got extra money.
Stuff in it.
She even got extra money.
I even noticed that she was naked.
I'll bet you didn't. Well, do you have any other favorite Hugh Jackman movies, Jazz?
I was going to just jump on the bandwagon with the X-Men because I did enjoy those films. I was not really aware of them. My wife was the one who got me into being aware of the X-Men because she was a fan of the comic books and dragged me to see the films, and I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked them.
Yes, I think.
And Wolverine was a great character, yes.
I think so, too. That of course, is definitely on my list of favorites. And we already have a caller, so I think let's just go ahead. Diane has been waiting on the phone since before the show started. So
patiently.
I know, so patiently. So let's bring her in. Hello, Diane. Thank you for calling Movie Attic Headquarters. Do you have a favorite Hugh Jackman movie?
Yes, I do. In fact, I had watched The Prestige and Kate and Leopold before, but I wouldn't say I was really a fan of Hugh Jackman until Australia. And so I'd have to say that's my favorite Hugh Jackman movie is Australia.
That's an interesting one. I thought that he was wonderful in Australia. I think the film had some problems with it, Diane, but
I don't know why do you think that the reviewers were not very kind to that film? I mean, do you think it was just because of the length or?
Well, the review I wrote of Australia was pretty much along those lines, that it wasn't Hugh Jackman, it wasn't the acting, it was the editing, it was the cutting. The film ran far too long and there were some very confusing back and forth cuts in it. I thought it had more technical problems than it did have storyline or acting problems.
But it also had that slow motion shower by Hugh Jackman's character.
Let me tell you one thing.
That'd be still my heart.
Yeah, that really was a big selling point in that movie. Any Hugh Jackman fan should watch that movie if only because of that.
Yes, and
you guys were yelling at me about Halle Berry. Oh, come on now. Where's the fairness? No, Australia reminded me very much of Brokeback Mountain. They both suffered. They were both great films, had the potential to be great films, and suffered from the same problems. They were just too long, too much with the cinematics, the establishing shots. They went on forever. Brokeback Mountain could have been 40 minutes shorter. Australia probably, you could have cut almost an hour out of that.
Well, I think you have some good points there, Jazz. And Diane, I didn't give Australia, you know, 5 stars or anything, but I did. I'm very biased, I think, when it comes to any movie with Hugh Jackman, or practically any movie with Hugh Jackman. And I thought his performance in that movie was the highlight. I thought he gave that character Drover sort of a tough, sarcastic veneer, but underneath there was vulnerability, and I thought he was very romantic with Nicole Kidman's character. but I think the story did try to tell so very, very much that it just went on a little bit too long, and we kind of were looking at our watches, you know, by the time it ends. But evidently, Diane, you thought that was an excellent movie. What did you like about it besides Hugh Jackman?
Well, I liked the scenery, the cinematography, and I did like the story. And I guess I didn't think it was overly long, but maybe modern movie audiences don't like, because, you know, Gone with the Wind, who they always say is one of the greatest movies, and that was, what, over 3 hours long, wasn't it?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
I think what Baz Luhrmann, the director, was trying to do was to make a movie that would compare with Gone with the Wind. I love the way he gave a homage to The Wizard of Oz, one of my favorite films. I thought that was very, very well done. And
I hate to detract from, you know, Foster's fascination with the shower scene, but to take some of his skills into account, I don't know how many people are aware, did any of you happen to catch the animated feature in the theater Flushed Away? Because he actually did the voice of Roddy, one of the rats in the movie Flushed Away, which was a great cartoon. It was a great film. My wife and I loved it.
Oh, yes, he's done some voices in animated movies. He did do also the voice of Memphis in Happy Feet, you know, the dad that was sort of an Elvis wannabe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's kind of in demand for even for animated movies.
Yeah, very good with his voiceover work.
Right. Well, Diane, we're just so delighted that you called. Is there anything else that you would like to mention? Are you on the phone also to listen to the phone to the show, or are you connected online?
I'm online, but can I listen to it online or just on the phone? I mean,
You can listen both ways. Jazz, would you explain how that works?
I want to say one comment. The only thing with that movie not being a success at the box office, I wonder, would you think that will limit Hugh Jackman's chances to get other romantic leads?
I hope not. I don't think so. I think he was so good in that movie that... And he's such a well-established star now.
And gauging by the reaction of most of, particularly the female fans, not casting any stones at Foster here or anything, I don't think he's going to have any trouble landing female leads in romantic films with females in the near future. Diane, if you decide to just stay on hold, you can listen to the show over the phone if you wish, or if you want to go ahead and hang up, then you can just go to the show's webpage and jump into the chat, and as long as you have speakers hooked up, you can listen to it live online there.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Great.
Bye
and
now.
Thank you again for calling, and we'll hope to see more of Hugh Jackman in the future, right?
Absolutely. And also, I think he's a great guy, not just a great actor.
I think you're right about that, too. Well, bye now, and we'll hope you call back again on another show. And take care, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, is there? I have some different favorites, Hugh Jackman films, and one of them is Kate and Leopold. I thought that Hugh Jackman was just outstanding in that, as that elegant duke who back in the, you know, a bachelor, charming bachelor of the late 1800s. And I know this was one of those fantasy type movies where the love story, the lovers actually lived in two different time periods. And so it's, of course, it's far-fetched, but I thought he was just great in that role.
I enjoyed the film immensely, and I loved the time travel kind of twist to the whole time travel thing. I am embarrassed to say, when I watched it, when it first came out, I didn't even realize it was Hugh Jackman, because I just wasn't that familiar. But, it was a great film. Very enjoyable. I mean, not one of the classics, but a really enjoyable little movie.
I know, and he really hadn't done too much on the screen before Kate and Leopold. And I liked the director's quote, why he wanted Jackman for the role. And this is what he said. I just love this. Hugh Jackman just has the essence of great movie stars of the past. There are times that you can see Errol Flynn or Cary Grant in him. And I think that's really true. He does remind you of the great movie stars of the past. So what did you like Kate and Leopold, Fausta?
I like Kate and Leopold, but the only thing that I don't like about Kate and Leopold and Australia were his co-stars. I wasn't particularly crazy about Nicole Kidman in Australia, and I wish they didn't have Meg Ryan in Kate and Leopold. I would have put the girl from The Matrix, Carrie Ann Moss, in that part instead.
That's an interesting idea.
But I think he definitely has the old star, the old style movie star glamour, because if you guys remember when he's in Australia, you know, and he's in the outback, he's dirty, he's grimy, he's everything else, and then he goes to the ball and he shows up in a classic white smoking jacket, and let me tell you, how well named was that jacket? So it really was a big star.
Oh, I'm blushing over here.
Traditional movie star part, you know, that we used to have, which you don't find anymore, you know, particularly now, since most actors are just kind of blah looking.
Well, I have to agree with you. There were some great shots of Hugh Jackman in Australia. And I just think that he could hold his own with any of those old movie stars from the past. But, you know, the most memorable performance that I think Hugh Jackman has ever given is in the movie that we've talked about a couple of times before on this show. And that's in the movie The Fountain. He was fiercely brilliant in that movie, and he had to play three different parts. He was a research scientist trying to find a cure for his wife, who was played by Rachel Weisz, who's dying from cancer. He played Tomas, a Spanish conquistador sent by Queen Isabella to the jungles to find the Tree of Life. And then finally he played an astronaut floating in a bubble with the Tree of Life and his memories of his wife there in the bubble. And I cannot believe how emotional he was and how that emotion came apart. When he showed the love and despair that he was witnessing, I'm still thinking about certain scenes and wondering how he was able to do them with such depth of feeling. Did you see The Fountain, Fausta?
Yes, and I think he saved that movie. Because the three different threads in The Fountain are so confusing that at one particular point, it's like you can't figure out if they're talking Buddha or 2001 Space Odyssey. So he really did ground the movie in a way that you could relate to his feeling for this woman and for what they had been and that kind of thing. And it made sense because of him.
That's right. And it did have a lot of symbolism, spirituality, matters of life and death. It was a very complicated film to follow, but it had such gorgeous images and then this just tremendously brilliant performance by Hugh Jackman. I think you're right. He did hold it together. Did you happen to see The Fountain, Jazz?
No, I actually avoided that one just because I saw several reviews, I'm sorry to say, which really panned the film, and they spoke strongly to what Fausta was talking about a rather disjointed plot, and it didn't seem to gel and come together. Now you've made me think perhaps I should go ahead and put it on my Netflix list and watch it, but I didn't catch it, no.
I think you should put it on your Netflix and take a look at it, and now that you know something about the story. I think some of the people, or the lack of story, but now that you know what it was trying to do, I think you should take a look at it, and I think you'll really, really like it. The other favorite I have of Hugh Jackman's performances was in the movie Deception, which was also panned by critics. I may be one of the few critics who gave this movie a positive review, but we just don't get a chance to see Hugh Jackman as a villain. But in this, he was a terrific Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type character, and he really got into the role.
It was a good film. I gave that one a good review also, and I thought he did a good job in it, yes.
And I think that he's just one of these kind of actors that can do anything. The romantic lead, he can play the villain we see here. He can do the action. He can do he can sing and dance, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But maybe we should check and see, are there any comments about favorite Hugh Jackman performances or movies from the chat, Jazz?
Most of them have already been mentioned here, as a matter of fact. It's kind of a limited repertoire, and it seems to be the same favorites going on. And not surprisingly, I think I'm in the minority because there are more women commenting about Jackman's physical talents.
I wonder why.
Imagine that.
Right. But we're pretty much on the same wavelength about
it. And this is so unfair, because do you realize, and I'm going to say this for both of your benefit, if I came on this show as your co-host, Betty Jo, and I did some long diatribe about how wonderful Phoebe Cates was for her slow motion departure from the pool in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I would be decried as every kind of sexist in the world. But for some reason, when it's Hugh Jackman, it's perfectly okay.
Well, I told you we have a double standard on this show, don't
well,
we?
Well, there you go. Well, I have to live with that.
But what is it that makes Hugh Jackman so popular? Of course, we know he is just almost unbearably handsome. But what else, Fausta?
I have thought about this because this is a guy who comes across as a regular guy, even when he's playing completely extraordinary characters. I mean, Wolverine is a guy that you understand, even when he's got razors coming out of his knuckles. And you have the character in The Fountain that you're watching him, and he's not playing Hugh Jackman playing a role. It's you're playing a human being who's reaching out to you in the way that he plays these parts. And I think, at least the way I see it, that's what makes him such an effective actor.
Well,
because I mean, there are a lot of good-looking men out there who have been actors who are nowhere near as convincing.
Right. Did we lose you, Fausta?
I'm still here.
You're still there, right. Well, good. Yeah, I think what you said is perfectly true, but I also think it's his versatility. As I mentioned before, he can do just about any kind of part, and he's believable. And you know that I'm probably the world's most avid movie musical fan, so I like him, and he's popular with me partly because of his ability to belt out a song. The first time I heard him sing was in a spoof of Phantom of the Opera on Saturday Night Live.
Ooh.
And I was absolutely bowled over with that voice. I didn't know at that time, you know, because I had seen X-Men and Kate and Leopold, but I hadn't ever heard him sing. And then I watched him in Oklahoma on PBS.
Oh, yes. That was so good.
Oh, I know. And I knew he was going to be a great musical star, as he proved by winning a Tony for The Boy from Oz. And then, oh, this was a real treat. He just wowed everyone when he danced with the Rockettes on the Tony Awards show. And I think that he won an Emmy for his work hosting that particular show. So he's kind of a throwback to Gene Kelly, you know, who could do everything, the comedy, the action, the singing, the dancing, the villain. He's just got it all.
Well, speaking of some of those older films, you'll probably be pleased to know that one of the suggestions coming in from the listeners in the chat is that they would like to see Hugh Jackman in a remake of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be just excellent. And I understand that he is interested in doing some musicals. I once heard, and this was last year sometime, that he hopes to star in a remake of Carousel. He already did that in a tribute to Rodgers and Hammerstein. He sang the role of Billy Bigelow at Carnegie Hall. And Disney, I think, is looking at him for a possible Guys and Dolls remake, plus an original musical, If You Could See Me Now, which I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. I just get nervous when I hear about remakes of the classics that I love because so many of them come off so badly. Oh,
I know, I know what you mean. I worry about that. But he's also thinking about doing the movie version of The Boy from Oz, in which he would replay his Tony-winning role. He's also looking at Sunset, the musical Sunset Boulevard, and The Full Monty as possibilities for his appearance in movie musicals. Now, he did Sunset Boulevard, I believe it was in Australia or in England, and he played the role that William Holden had, you know,
yeah,
in the movie version of Sunset Boulevard.
We're going to throw some cold water on Faustin in a moment.
Why?
Full Monty, yes.
Full Monty, oh, yes. Well, The Boy from Oz, I believe he was one of the producers of that, because he knew Peter Allen from back in Australia, back in the olden days when Peter Allen was still alive.
Yeah, that's right. And he must have been wonderful in that. I wish I could have seen him in The Boy from Oz. Of course, I'd like to see him in any musical, but he seems like he's been devoting most of his time to more of the drama and adventure kind of movie. So I hope he gets his head on right and does some musical work. And I hope he does something musical when he's hosting the Oscars next Sunday. Do you think he'll
be
a successful Oscar host, Jazz?
I don't have any doubt that he'll be able to pull it off, but let me turn that around and ask another question to you. Compared to other Oscar hosts in the past, does it seem a little bit striking that Hugh Jackman, and I realize I'm talking to avid fans of his, but he does have a rather limited background. We haven't seen him in as much. He doesn't have that much depth yet of a resume. Is it unusual for someone with that, who's, what's the phrase I'm looking for, kind of new on the scene, to be hosting the Oscars? Is this unusual? Don't we normally see people that have got, you know, quite a bit more well-known, I should say, longer term?
Well,
or is this fairly normal?
It's a good question, and I'm going to answer that with what the Academy Awards producer and executive producer said in their statement when they selected him. This is the quote: "Hugh Jackman is a consummate entertainer and an internationally renowned star. He has style, elegance, and a sense of occasion. He's the ideal choice to host a celebration of the year's movies and to have fun doing it." And I think he's just going to be a smash after seeing him host the Tonys. Did you happen to see him in any of those? I think he hosted them two or three times, Jazz. Did you ever see him do that?
I did only once. I didn't know he did it more than once, yes.
I think he did it maybe twice. Did you see him in the Tonys, Fausta?
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh,
he's actually
got the personality. He's got that glowing, you know, very bigger-than-his-body personality when he's on stage. So I think he's ideally suited for an MC type of role. But, you know, it is kind of early for him, I think. You know, normally we tend to see people that are a bit more seasoned. That was my only question.
Mm. Well, that's a good point. But he does love to entertain and to perform, and I think that's half the battle, too. When you watch Robin Williams host the Oscars, when you watch Billy Crystal especially, you know, these guys, they just love to entertain, and it really shows. And I think that you've got the same kind of quality with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, and that's a side of Hugh Jackman that I think a lot of people don't see if they only know him from his TV and film work. You get people like, you could imagine someone like, you know, Jon Stewart, or as you say, Billy Crystal, some of the big stand-up comics that are used to, you know, just engaging on their feet, reacting to different things, being funny and keeping it moving along. People that aren't that familiar with Hugh Jackman's body of work might not know that that's something he could do. You know, it's like later in his life, are we going to see Hugh Jackman show up as, you know, a late night show replacing Conan or something if he gets bored with the big screen, you know?
That's true. But, well, we have to avoid the feeling that he's more than human. So we need to talk about some of the mistakes that he's made with his career and with the movies that he's chosen. And I have to say that I thought Van Helsing was a mess. It's one of the worst films I've ever seen, and I really was disappointed in Hugh Jackman for taking on that role. I seldom want to walk out on a movie because I enjoy even the bad ones, and so this is really odd for me. But I almost walked out of Van Helsing because it had such loud effects and, you know, such fast camera work and just hardly anything about the hero that he played. So it was only because Hugh Jackman, well, out of respect for Hugh Jackman, that I stayed to see the entire movie. Fausta, did you feel the same way about Van Helsing, or did you enjoy it?
I thought Van Helsing was okay. It was, there was nothing about Van Helsing aside from Hugh Jackman that was appealing to me, but it wasn't that bad that I felt that I had to get up and leave. The one that I didn't like at all was the one that he made with Ashley Judd, which I think it's like Someone Like You or something like that.
Yes, Someone Like You, right.
I hated that movie. I cannot explain why. I just didn't like it.
Oh, I am so surprised that you would say that. I thought that, in fact, I thought he and Ashley Judd had the best chemistry together of anyone that he appeared with. And I think you're going to have to resign from Romantics Anonymous, Fausta, if you didn't like Hugh Jackman. Oh, that scene where it shows him, his character holding Ashley Judd all night to comfort her, you know, after she's lost her boyfriend. And he wakes up first, and then he gently smells her hair, looks longingly at her for a brief moment, and then pretends to be asleep. Oh, that was one of the year's most tender film moments when that one was released, and I still sigh just thinking about that. But the film itself, you're right, it was not that great. But the chemistry between these two, I thought, was excellent. Well, who do you think has the best chemistry on screen?
I'm reconsidering about someone. I think Rachel Weisz and Halle Berry and Anna Paquin.
Oh, Anna Paquin is Rogue in X-Men.
Yes. I think the two of them play off each other really nicely on screen.
I think you're right about that. They were, the relationship that they developed was just so unusual for comic book characters.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that kind of a depth of relationship. And they were excellent together.
And it's a good thing that at least in the movies, I'm not that familiar about the comic books, that they have this tension between the two of them, and she starts as a kid, and as she gets older, there's almost a sexual tension because she's the only person he's the only person that she can touch, so and still live. So I think it's a very interesting part that they have put between the two of them, but those two actors together, I think, are very good.
And you've eliminated Nicole Kidman and Meg Ryan as far as women having excellent chemistry with Hugh Jackman. But you like Anna Paquin and Rachel Weisz?
Yes.
And Halle Berry?
Yes.
What about you, Jazz?
Well, I'm going to go back to the previous question for one second and just say that I also thought that Van Helsing was terrible. I did not at all enjoy, and I actually shut off the TV remake of Oklahoma. I thought that was just awful. I did see about half of it, and I thought that was terrible. And I think that Australia was a mistake for him to take. you know, in terms of bad choices, as I don't think he was bad, but I don't think it was a good project to pick. And I'm going to completely disagree with Fosta, because I'm not big on the whole chemistry thing, but I knew we were going to cover this, and I actually thought that probably his best moment was with Meg Ryan. And then again, I really like Meg Ryan. I think she's a fabulous actress, and I thought the two of them were great together in Kate and Leopold.
I have to agree with you on that, Jazz, that everything seemed to work, at least for me, in Kate and Leopold.
They were very believable, and it was just, you know, I don't know how much of that he carried on his back, how much of it was her, but you mix the two of them together, and I really liked the combination.
I did, too, so you're back in our good graces, even though you didn't like Australia. Well, we ought to take a look at some of the things that are coming up for Hugh Jackman after the Oscars. I guess he's been pretty busy with that and promoting the Oscars and working on his routines.
Oh, before you do, I did want to say, coming in from the chat, we're getting more votes for Swordfish and The Prestige.
Really?
And actually, we have one big vote for Van Helsing, so people disagree with us. There are Van Helsing fans out there.
Well, I'm glad that there are, but, and we have another caller, I think. So let's take a minute here. And
I wonder if this is the person who had Hugh Jackman as their gym teacher.
Hello, area code 325. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, and thank you for holding. Who are we speaking with?
You're speaking with Rami from the Round Table.
Well, how are you?
How are you?
We're doing just fine. We're having a lot of fun paying tribute to Hugh Jackman. Did you have a favorite Hugh Jackman film or performance?
I think my favorite performance in film was Swordfish.
Well, you're with Jazz on that.
Thank you. Yes. Get the guys together. Absolutely.
What did you like about Swordfish?
It's the way he became Stanley Jobson. Oh, my God, a computer hacker that can hack into the military government defense system in like 30 seconds? Heck yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I'm a computer geek myself, and you love seeing the geek turn into almost the superhero action kind of guy, and it was a great transformation.
Very great. Very great. I loved it.
Well, I like that too. It wasn't one of my favorites, but I think he really did do a good job in that, and I did like the chemistry between him and Halle Berry also.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, we thank you very much for calling in and call back on another show when you have a question or a comment, Randy.
No problem. We'll see you later.
Yeah. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, that's great. We have a vote for Swordfish, so this makes Jazz very, very happy. And we were just starting to talk a little bit about what Hugh Jackman has coming up on the big screen, and I was very fortunate to see the trailer to X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is coming out on May 9th. I can hardly wait to see that, because we'll be seeing more of Wolverine in that particular movie. And then, also in 2009, there's an action movie titled Drive, in which Hugh plays a Hollywood stuntman who fears someone has put a hit out on him. And then, scheduled for 2010...
Oh, Drive, by the way, is directed by Neil Marshall, and I am looking forward to that film. It should be very good.
I think it will be. And then, going along with the animated work that Hugh does, in 2010... there's Guardians of Gahooli. That's capital G, capital H-O-O-L-I-E, and I think it's about some owls, but I don't know much more than that. I'm disappointed that there's, among those three, there's not a musical, except maybe Guardians of Gahooli might be, but I don't know that much.
Well, perhaps there'll be an owl taking a long slow-motion shower for Fosta.
That won't be the same.
Do you know what I would really like him to see him play?
What?
The old, I don't know if you remember who Howard Keel is.
Well, of course I do. Yes, he's a great musical star.
Yes, I would love to have him play Howard Keel parts, you know, or anything Cole Porter, but particularly the Howard Keel parts in the Cole Porter musicals. I think he would be perfect for that, because he's a physical type to begin with.
I think you're right about that. And where did they sing something, I Can Do Anything Better Than You? Annie, Get Your Gun?
I think that's Annie, Get Your Gun.
He would be great in Annie Get Your Gun, too. So we got to get him in a musical.
Ooh.
Absolutely. But
Oklahoma, yes.
Right. I wanted to just take a few minutes to share some of the things I found out about Hugh Jackman's background. And it's very interesting because he started out, his first performance on stage was in Camelot at age 5 years old.
And cute.
Yeah, can you imagine that? And he actually spent some time doing, as a clown for children's parties.
Ah!
Yeah. And his father gave him lessons, gave him money for lessons to play the piano, so he knows how to play the piano. He also had lessons for guitar and violin. And he went to the Australia Academy of Performance Arts in Perth. He also learned how to juggle. He does a very, very wonderful rendition of Ray Orbison's Crying, which I am just dying to hear. So if anybody has that on YouTube or a recording of it, I would hope that they would let me know. And he was, I forgot to mention, there is another mistake in his career, and that was the short-lived Viva Laughlin television show where he played Nicky Fontana, a casino owner. Did you happen to see that, Fausto or Jazz?
I
never saw that.
Well, you're lucky. I think it only lasted for a couple of episodes. So, as I say, he doesn't always make the right choices, but he's still wonderful in our book. It looks like our time is almost up, so I want
to
read.
But I'm willing to give him a chance at the Oscars this year. I'm going to watch, although after this show, I'm going to have to run out and watch some reruns of The Man Show or something just to get over the estrogen overload from this discussion of Hugh Jackman worship. Oh, my God.
Well, you certainly held your own today, Dan, so I wouldn't worry about that. And I wanted to remind everyone that we still have a few books to give away from last week's show, so if you would like a copy of Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Chick Flick by Kimberly Potts, or the ebook version of It Had to Be Us, an award-winning romantic memoir that my husband and I co-wrote under the pseudonyms of Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, just send me an email at realtalk@comcast.net. That's REELTALK at comcast.net, and state that you wish to be entered in the book drawing. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to Fausto Wirtz for being such a great guest today and to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support in connection with this show. Special thanks, as always, to Nikki Starr and to Jazz Shaw today for subbing for Nikki in terms of the chat and for everything they both do to make this show such a fun show. Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or who took part in the chat, and to the two callers. We really appreciate your participation. Please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I think, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, that we will have the funniest man in the world as our guest, and that's none other than Fred Willard. So if you will all keep your fingers crossed and send good vibes, I think we'll make that happen. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. As usual, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to close the show with a song dedicated to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners, and today also to the wonderful Mr. Hugh Jackman.
and be